Okay, this is the Tuesday, March 22nd, 2022 meeting of the CBD HDLC Architectural Review Committee. Roll call, Lee Ledbetter, absent, Miriam Salas, absent, Robbie Cangelosi, present, Ashley King, present, Robert Boyd, present. We have three members constituting a quorum. The first item on the agenda are the minutes from last month's meeting.
Move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Okay, the first application is 709 Chapatula Street.
I'm going to go ahead and read the recommendations from the last meeting first. So we reviewed this at the February 15th meeting. The ARC was reluctant to approve the addition of a gallery without further documentation that a gallery previously existed in this location. They also agreed that the installation of new overhead doors was not appropriate for the type and style of building. While there may have been an overhead door on the facade previously, it would not have been original, and the current condition is more appropriate for the historic character of the building, even if not entirely accurate. The committee suggested the applicant perform additional research to determine what the original condition of the building would have been.
All right. Mr. Musso, would you like to make a presentation?
Yes, I would. First of all, I'd like to say it's wonderful to see all of you in person and actually have people to talk to and paper to hand out. What I've done is I've gone and tried to do more research on the items that are relevant to this. And in some cases, we found additional information. In other cases, we did not. I'd like to start with the first sheet that you have. And on it, to the right-hand, upper right-hand side, we see a Sanborn map from 1885. And that map indicates an independent small balcony and a linear awning across the front. We looked before and after, and we could not find any other Sanborns that gave us information. So we are still in the process of looking. I have someone that's looking at the geography department at LSU, and they think they have something, and I should have that within days. This gives us the demeanor of it. It shows also the balcony to the right at 701, which has been put in place. And it also shows 1948 photographs that show galleries and that small balcony at 709. It also, you'll see more on 711, which we're going to discuss as a precedent in a moment. You see the existing condition of the building today at the top left-hand corner, and it has a number of anachronistic components on it, including new dormers, new French doors, and new openings to the right that did not exist prior to this. On the second page, and I'm going to try to keep this quickly, we have photographs from the late 1950s on the top, early 60s, that show our building with a overhead door in place, and it also shows single doors with the exception of one that was in place. At this point in time, even as late as the 60s, there were no dormers on this building. The adjacent building, which is 711, had an awning and is a three-story building. And at some point in time, if you look right below, it was allowed to be to have a fourth floor on it. It has there's no precedent that we could find that had anything about it being other than a small, short, three-story building, but it was allowed to have not only galleries, but covered galleries in a very ornate style. And it had two covered galleries and an open gallery on top. And you can compare the two photographs, one below the other, and you can see the stark contrast and what was allowed. We're not looking for anything that aggressive by any means on here. We're looking at to extend the balcony or the gallery at 701 to 709. Okay, the next page shows evidence that there were previously doors, and pardon me for the quality of the photograph, but there were previously doors at two locations on the second floor. And these are outside, one of them is outside of the realm of that little balcony that you saw previously. This is the top of page A02. There you go. What you see there is a cut line in the bricks. In both cases, these are two different windows, and it's a lot more apparent if I were a better photographer, but I did not have that. Also, to just show that I'm not, the doors on the overhead door is still in place on the inside, even though the openings were closed.
Wow.
So that had been there. I had a little more dramatic photograph with a car parked inside the building, but I didn't think I needed overkill on that. It might be worth noting that the building for all of 709 was used, the left side as you face the building, was used as a harness shop. And the right side, we're not certain if it was used for a carriage shop or not. That's our suspicion. We're still doing research on that, because I have to have some reason why it had a previous opening. We did not find any indication of it having windows or doors beneath it, as does the left-hand side. Okay, and then the next four sheets are the options that we propose. And you've seen some of that from the last time, but to show it lined up, you get a little better sense of it. And I'll start from the first sheet and go quickly. On the first sheet, atop is the existing condition. On the bottom is the condition we propose, showing a butt-glazed overhead door that's pretty transparent. And it would be open, say, I'm guessing maybe 12 hours a day. And it shows a separate color scheme from Lucy's, which is 701 Chapatillas. And you can see it in context of the balconies adjacent to it, the galleries adjacent to it. The next sheet shows an arrangement of, it shows the door, same thing, the door in the open position. And in the background, the bar itself, not unlike some of the situations we have in the View Carré, where we have fold-back doors. We also showed it with the same, extended the same color scheme as Lucy's on the bottom view. We're not ready for fold-back scheme, but just for information, if you wanted to see what that looked like. We do intend on keeping the anachronistic dormers that are on the top. I think they do nothing but help it out. The third option is shown on page A2, and this is at the request of my client. We have two doors symmetrically placed in the building that are butt-glazed doors, and that whole front of the building is a bar itself. The top floor, by the way, and I don't think I mentioned this previously, is the restaurant that works in conjunction with the bar. The building is fully sprinkled and also has an elevator, or will have an elevator. Okay, and the last scheme is an all-door scheme, an all-standard door scheme, using anachronistic double French doors in lieu of the singles that maybe were there, maybe were not. We don't know what goes back before the 1940s. So those are our options on this. And I know that all of them are contentious. And what we want first and foremost is a gallery. Second is at least one glazed overhead. And third, we'd love the two, but I'm not crazy that I think the two will fly. So this is what we have right now, and I'm open to any questions.
The second floor windows, are you changing those? Because it looks like they're 6/2 and you've got 9/2 in your drawings.
They're supposed to be 6/2. Okay. That was drawn incorrectly. If you look at the photographs, you're very much correct. That's an error on our part.
Oh, wait, it was from the old drawing. That's why it's like that.
And
yeah. when we started this project, we used the old drawings that were done by Gene Sizek in the last renovation, which happened during the mid-60s, and they showed them, but they were never changed to that. They are 6/6, 6/2, and we plan on keeping them 6/2.
Okay, and this overhead door, that is to give access to a bar or restaurant. This is not for automobiles to come in, is that correct?
That's correct. And the only thing, in fact, what we're doing, at some point in time, the entire front of the building, front of the sidewalk, from edge of property to edge of property, had a rollover curb. It's also a very dangerous split angles. That's very severe. We're going to take all of that out when we put in the gallery. And when we do that, we're going to correct the slope and the curb. And also, the building had some irregular elevations on the interior. We're removing the interior slab because there are two heights, only because somebody poured in some topping at one point in time, and we're going to make that uniform.
And this is all glass, this roll-up door, is that correct?
Correct, yes.
But you said it'll be open half of the day, 12 hours a day, roughly,
I would
correct?
Think that, yes.
Okay.
What's the rating of this building? Do you know, significant contributing?
I believe it's contributing.
I should know that.
So, Nick, the drawings show what looks like a walk-up bar condition. Is that correct?
No, it's a sit-down bar. It's just in the illustration, we just showed the bar in elevation further back.
So it isn't the door opens and they serve.
You're not selling out of this opening
because
that's
no.
Prohibited.
The bar is, don't hold me to the exact, approximately 8 feet away.
The drawing was just confusing.
Yeah, the ghosting in there.
Why the push for an overhead door opposed to, you know, swinging doors that open, or even something that's a little bit more characteristic of what would have been there if it was a true
honest with you. When the owner saw the existing owner, the operator saw the existing overhead, he said, can I keep that glass? And I said, well, it's questionable if you can keep it. I said, the opening, as far as we can tell, the original wide opening is original.
Right.
I don't know what was in there. It could have been barn doors to allow carriage work, but that size opening is original. I could live with a folding wood doors. I've used them
your
in the
3A corner. Option is what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, here. I could even modify that if I wanted to have a big single opening.
I think that would be at least.
Oh,
I was
reading that as a big. I see the doors open there.
No,
I'm sorry,
not,
overlay. I see it's actually two openings. Okay.
Yeah, right. I don't think it's proposed. I hear.
It's not proposed.
It's not in this, but okay. I'm having an issue with cutting a new opening into the existing facade and adding a roll-up door. You know, I think having something that would maybe, if it was truly a carriage opening.
Let me explain what's there right now. The right-hand side is heavy metal studs and columns, and the old opening, the old shape of the opening is there, which is approximately a 12-foot opening.
Okay.
The only thing I'm going to do is reinforce that, because as you can see in the photographs, I already have some masonry reinforcement in that. But I would certainly entertain just what you're saying, two sets of double threes to give me the same opening that fold back. That would certainly be an option.
All right. I mean, I would find that a little bit more palatable.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I agree with you, Ashley.
The evidence that you have on the second floor of these door openings, the photographs that you've shown of the brick, is that in these two locations where you have
the
doors?
They're in the two locations, exactly. That's correct.
So even the building next door, the Lucy's, that the door opening is in the middle of the three openings, right?
Yep.
But here it looks like they're both in the middle.
We found that we had a permit to do some interior demolition, and we found that when we did that,
And it's only just these two openings?
It's only those two. All of the front facade, we removed the gypboard. That's the only two that show any sign of that. And if there was a segmented balcony, it would have been from the edge of the building to slightly past the second window. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think that, there may have been something more than that segmented balcony. And like I said, I'm still looking for Somewhere in the mid-90s to the early teens, the Sanborns for this block, which I don't have.
Have you gone online to the public library? A lot of them are there in two different locations. Tulane, I just found. I thought they only had the 76 for the French Quarter, but apparently it's for the whole city. Library of Congress also has online.
We went to the Library of Congress. It's impossible to find your way around there to get to an exact location. But what I did find, Michael Desmond, who I think you remember, had mentioned to me, he said, Nick, I'm going to send you a disc of all of the New Orleans Sanborn maps. And he didn't send it because the geography department is right there. And so I called up Michael, and he happens to be out of town, but I'm waiting for him to send me the disc that I'm looking for.
Okay.
It should be a fairly complete collection.
Is there a public comment? Okay. If you wanna go ahead and take public comment. Okay, I got one speaker card for this property, Nikki Slawinski. Okay, do you wanna come? Can you stand up just to make sure we get you on the recorder?
So, Nikki Slawinski,
1011
St. Philip.
Hold on 1 second. You have 2 minutes to make your comments, and please leave your comments to the things that the HDLC has jurisdiction over.
I agree with the staff from the last time that the roll-up doors are inappropriate, and it seems like the fenestration that is being offered on the bottom is confusing, and it takes away the symmetry of the front of the building. And especially if you're going to continue what is there color-wise in the future as far as paint, it's going to be confusing. I'd also wonder if HDLC staff has been into the building, because when you look at the photos that were given, the place where the infill is has the straight drape, and when you look at the picture on the outside of the building, that is the middle of it. So that's it. I think about these ones.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Is there any other public comment on 709 Chapatula Street?
Yes.
Okay.
You're speaking.
Is that Denny?
Donnie.
Okay, please state your name and address, and you have 2 minutes to make your public comment.
Donnie Smith, 2671 Buffalo Manhood, Louisiana, 74448. I'm VP of Design and Construction for Lucy's, Kirk and Dog Management. Pertaining to their overhead roll-up doors, I know you guys were talking about in lieu of the roll-up doors, you have apartment doors or pocket doors or sliding doors. From an operation standpoint, we feel that those can hinder the operation of the restaurant, so we would prefer to look at least getting one of those roll-up overhead doors. So I know you guys were talking about the cardinal doors, the roll-up the folding doors, and you mentioned about that, and we'll strongly suggest against that, and we'd like to go for 2 overhead doors, but at least one. It gives it a more open feeling to the restaurant, and obviously we are investing a lot of money in this building, and we want to get a return on investment. So hopefully you guys think very hard about that. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for your comment. ARC members, any more discussion, recommendations?
Well, let's take it a piece at a time. Let's talk about the veranda first of all, whether that's acceptable or not. I think, Nick, that I know these is just conceptual up in here, but these very large elements at the bottom of the columns look way too heavy for the building there and so forth. And so I would like the staff to look at the details and also of the railing up in there. I know you're trying to get it up to meet the code there, but the crisscross pattern below is not very typical up in that, but I do think that the details need to be looked at the staff. I personally have no problem with the addition of a veranda on the building.
I agree.
Okay. I mean, I think that there's been precedent set in other.
Okay. Let's go now to the 2 openings on the second floor there. the way you have them delineated, it's very heavy with a lot of wood. If you look at Lucy's next door, there's a transom, and it's lighter in appearance. I don't have a problem with the two doors and the location, but I think the details need to be worked out with the staff there so that it's not
and
so
heavy. We would not
heavy.
Have any problem with the transoms. That was discussed, but one of the things about it is that there's only one door on the ground floor that had a transom. So I didn't want to draw 20 different.
Well, I just would like to see it lighter. You know, whether
sure.
it's you need to get your windows correct and look at the proportions. Right now, I'm seeing a lot of solid wood up in that, and they should be lighter in feeling and so forth, more indicative of the construction period of the building.
So slimmer style and rails.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
But I think that detail, in my opinion, can be worked out with the staff.
Agree.
Right. Okay, so we're all agreeing on that. Now,
wanted to back up. It looks as though the gallery support for Lucy's is not drawn correctly in that the gallery in real life overhangs the post.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to make sure that you've done a survey of the underground utilities and that the post locations have been verified, and I think we're going to need to work out how the post supports relate to one another since there's an awkward overhang at Lucy's.
This is very diagrammatic because the last time we did this, it worked out perfectly on the front of Chapultepec, just the way we drew it. On the side, on the Girard side, it wasn't even close. There were a tangle of utilities. The problem is that the city nor the utilities have kept current their records. So what we've offered is to do an exploratory trench right at the front within a foot and a half of the edge of the sidewalk to do a 3-foot wide exploratory trench. And if we have to stagger anything left or right, we'll present that to you once again.
Okay, just to make sure that's figured out before construction starts so that we don't end up with surprises.
We definitely have to. The other thing I might say is that the condition of that sidewalk is such that it is a hazard.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay, the big issue would then be the large openings proposed for the ground floor. First of all, I would be opposed to two of them. Altogether.
Yes.
Okay. So now we're talking about one opening there and how to handle the one opening there.
My feeling is that if it's infilled currently with non-masonry, it's metal studs. Obviously, there was something there. I think they have a right to open that back up. I just don't feel that a roll-up door is appropriate. This. I'd rather see.
If I could offer it, I'd like to give you photographs showing what's there from the inside looking to exterior so you can see it for yourself and then make a proposal.
This one.
You see it pretty well in that photograph.
Yeah, you can see the roll-up door there in this photograph on sheet 0.2.
Yeah. This whole building, when it was renovated, at one time ended up using metal studs and taking out a lot of masonry. And the best I can tell, that might have been in the 1965 renovation.
So you're saying that you're not in favor of a roll-up door, but perhaps carriage doors that open completely?
Yes.
So that it's an open-air experience?
Right.
To give them what they're achieving, but instead of going up to the facade.
Correct.
And I think those are all of the issues.
I concur with that. Robert, what's your...
Yep.
Okay.
Like hinged carriage doors?
They can bifold against one another and go to the side, or there's a bunch of concepts that they could propose that could be reviewed. But I think we want the appearance more of a commercial door or a carriage door up in there. If this was a harness shop and they've documented that, some sort of carriage opening appearance or some sort of series of bifold doors going to the side there.
Okay.
And I think
those are all the issues. Do you want to make a motion?
I'm trying to think of the motion. I'll make a motion that the veranda in concept is approved, the details to be worked on out by staff, that the two new doors on the second floor be approved in concept with details to be worked out with the staff, that the former carriageway opening that was there be allowed to return in the enclosure of that, be worked out with the staff, but it should not be a roll-up door. It should be some sort of bifold door, carriage door, or however they want to work that out with the staff.
That works. I second that.
Okay, we have a motion by Robbie Cangelosi and a second by Robert Boyd. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you so much.
All right, the next item on the agenda is 759 Carondelet Street.
Second. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you. Do we have drawings? Yes. Okay, great. Staff?
Application to install a new door at the left elevation for HVAC access, that is after the fact, and to raise the existing HVAC and to conceal it behind a new mesh screen. At the last meeting, the ARC denied the application to raise the existing parapet wall 6 feet to conceal the HVAC. The ARC agreed that raising the existing parapet wall was not an appropriate infill to conceal and suggested using a lighter metal mesh screening that is set back from the front wall. The ARC requested that the updated drawings for the next meeting include the location and height of the raised HVAC to better understand the new screening at the front and rear of the building.
I'm Margaret Glass, and this is Dr. John Ruffin, who is the owner of the property. As we stated in the last meeting, the purpose of these changes is really functional. There were some leaks in the roof that were occurring before Ida. They got worse during Ida, and so Dr. Ruffin's proposing to relocate the HVAC units over the area that is the garage, which would not be over living space, just in case there's future leaking on the flat roof. And then they installed previously a door on that would provide access to the flat roof to work on the roof. And so that's after the fact, and they're asking for approval for that as well.
It's actually three HVAC systems that are on the roof, probably been there forever, constantly in need of repair. The idea of raising the parapet wall is no longer an issue. We simply want to move those air conditioning, those HVACs, from over the residential. Down underneath is the master bedroom. On the other end is the garage. Currently, that leak is in the master bedroom. So what we want to do is to just move those air conditioners, situate them over the garage. There, I think I could tolerate a leak as opposed to right in the middle of the bed. So I'm simply want to move those air conditioners over to the garage end of the thing. The idea of the door, I really want to apologize for that. That was lack of knowledge, not just a disregard for what was going on. It's just that there's no other access to the roof other than through that door that was created.
And I'll just add, the architect was not able to be here today, but in response to the committee's comments at the last meeting, they're not going to change the parapet wall. They've installed a screen that will be set back 8 feet. It'll be 8 feet high, I believe, and it'll have the louvers in it.
So this door is not properly delineated here.
So is the issue just the screen?
Yeah.
And
the door.
The door was added.
Yeah, they
did
after the fact approval for the door.
Actually, in the photograph, the door looks better than in the drawing here. I'm trying to get back to it. I lost it there.
We actually have some additional photos if you need them.
There.
So it looks like the door is not finished being cased out, I suppose.
They stopped work. Right.
Here's another photo.
Yeah, there's an up close photo if you'd like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have to look
under that. Are you going to need a cover for the door to protect it from water?
Well, we plan to, but we stopped work on it.
Right. Does the drawing show?
You mean an awning?
Yeah, an awning.
Yeah, that's right.
Why, if the doors along the front don't have it, why does this one need one?
Usually when... I just assumed it was coming with an awning, and it turns out my assumption was right.
Well, I don't know if it's an awning, but you got to put something there to keep that water from falling right there.
Cool.
The contractor had something in mind for that.
The front of the building doesn't have any awnings over the French doors there, so I don't understand why they would need one here. Mm-hmm. You don't have it over the windows in the back, that fan window and those attic windows there.
Right, and if the door is opening out and you have the proper threshold, it should keep
it
the water.
If you have a good weather strip.
If that would cause us to have to come back and get the awning approved, I think we would ask for the approval without the awning, and then if it becomes an issue with the contractor, we'll come back and ask for the awning additionally.
Is it a metal louver or a wood louver?
Well, I think it's going to be wood.
To be determined.
I'd like to build it from scratch.
But it's like the photographs that you supplied.
Yeah.
Yes, we sent Wendy a photograph, unfortunately, I didn't bring it.
I think it's in the presentation.
Okay, great.
This is what they're proposing.
And this is going on that little garage building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the flat garage.
It's 8 feet back.
8 feet back.
And it's 8 feet tall. Yes.
And it's 8 feet tall.
And pretty much half the view of that back door.
Yeah. And the back door would still be visible from the...
From the back.
From the back.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
It seems like the only solution.
I think I have no problem with the screen.
Do you have any problems with it?
No, not at all. This is much better than what was presented originally. Okay. This seems to work.
At this time, I'm going to ask, is there any public comment for 759 Carondelet Street? All right. There being none, is there any more discussion or is there a motion?
I'll make a motion for conceptual approval of the revised drawings with details for the screening to be worked out with the staff and the completion of the doorway, the frame, and that. We can see what the door is, but we need to see how the door trims on out there, and that can be handled at staff level.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion by Robbie Candelusi and a second by Ashley King. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, the next item on the agenda is 1011 Canal Street. Good morning.
Good morning, how are y'all?
Good. Staff?
This project was also reviewed at the previous meeting. At that time, the ARC requested additional information on the new roof options, specifically the overall height of each of the additions and the setback from the building facade. To comply with HDLC guidelines, all rooftop additions should be set back at least 1.5 times the total height of the addition. The ARC also agreed that the entrance doors at 1005 Canal Street should not be removed and replaced with fixed windows, as this building makes the strongest architectural statement, and the marquee clearly denotes this area as a main entry. Without people coming in and out of the building in this location, it will only increase loitering and additional activity in that alcove. The ARC strongly encouraged retention of an entrance at the existing 1005 Canal storefront location.
Would you like to make a brief presentation?
Just addressing that in backwards, we are, and I've talked to the new Ruby Slipper tenant who will be occupying the 01 and 05 ground floor space. They are willing to keep the doors and are looking to maintain the raised floor height for BFE that we got a BBSA waiver on to keep slightly below a full 18 inches of adjacent curb. They want to keep the doors and put a seat in front of it, and on nice days open those doors to be one with the outdoor seating as well. So they're happy to keep the doors. However, they don't want to make it a main entry. Their main focus is to have the main entry off the corner of the O1 building, which they feel is a very prominent location for that block and invites everybody in throughout their space. On the presentation on the computer, we have added dimensions. I apologize, we're working through a deadline and the printout lost a couple dimensions. The key dimension that you're probably looking for is 13 foot 11. That is the new fifth floor to the top of the building overall. The new fifth, there is not currently a fifth floor, and that fifth floor is driven by the 1015 roof, which is a poured concrete structure. The pitch roof with the apex in the middle establishes how low we can make our fifth floor for the penthouse. So we are 13 foot 11 from the new fifth floor, which is 1 foot above that existing crest. Other things which we discussed last were the windows. I think we received a compliment on our attentiveness to how we're treating the windows throughout the building. And mainly we're here to discuss the penthouse renovation and modifications to the storefront on the 1005 building.
I was not able to make the last meeting. Ashley and Robert, is this, and were y'all there, and is this responding to the comments made at that meeting?
Yeah, some of it. I want to make sure I understand that fifth floor penthouse is set 19 foot, 8.5 inches back from the front face, and that's being set by the previous elevator override?
Yes.
And it's 13 foot 11 high.
How far is the setback on 1005?
Right.
So that's one of the things that got lost, and I have right in my phone right here. The setback on Canal is 16 foot 9.
And what is the height of it overall?
That should be on 202. From the new fourth floor for that penthouse, which was derived from the 1011 existing fourth floor, we are 15 foot zero in change above the fourth floor. Now the 1005 building, just the fourth floor was the roof, so we derived a new fourth floor to come straight off of the 1011 fourth floor.
So it's not set back 1.5?
No, it is not set back 1.5. We studied the 3D axons heavily, and you can just see right here in the front, there's a small corner of that particular penthouse, which you're talking about, peeking out, just the parapet edge.
But it doesn't meet the guidelines?
No, ma'am, not exactly.
So we
can't approve
it.
Are you getting tax credits for this?
Yes.
And have they reviewed your proposed rooftop addition?
We have a preliminary review from SHPO, but not a hard submittal. We've reviewed all the changes and modifications and windows and penthouses with them. And
but you haven't gotten any approvals for rooftop
addition? Not an official approval.
Has there been a request to put a pole with the markers up and the staff to go look? Because Canal Street's pretty wide.
Yeah.
And the sight lines.
I know the sight lines of this, but.
Excuse me?
I'm in a sort of a quandary because I'm very familiar with this building.
Well, that's why you're on the ARC, because you have lots of experience. So, what do you want to say, Ashley?
No, I know that it's going to be, I mean, it's so hard for me. I think my comment is it needs to follow the guidelines. It should be, at least the building on 1005 should be set back. I did miss last time, I don't know how I missed this, about cutting back the corner.
I think that's because last submission there was sort of a white box over that corner, so you couldn't see it in the previous submission. But I had some questions about that too, and how the facade right on Canal Street, mm-hmm. that first floor level on both that 1001 building and the one two doors down, exactly how you're treating that, what that canopy is. But back up to the setback.
I think it needs to meet the guidelines, and I know that there's visibility issues with these buildings due to the width of
Canal Street,
right. And then that is going to be very much a point of discussion with the Park Service.
Absolutely.
Very familiar with
it. I mean, it almost seems premature at this point without direction from the Park Service about what they're going to want.
We were seeking HDLC review so that we had more informed discussion with SHPO and Park Service.
Park Service right now and their stance on penthouses, our viewpoints are kind of easier.
No, we understand where the project has been and where it's come from. It's been through a heavy review with NPS, and it's going to be a challenge for us to maintain its changes. We were happy with the sightline study. We're comfortable with moving back this 1005 facade just a little bit to comply exactly with the guidelines. It won't harm us too much.
And that includes overhangs as well from the edge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so
all the overhangs from the edge of the building or from
where
the parapet?
Overhangs along Canal Street, where are they talking
about? Edge of any overhang you're proposing for your openings on the top
edition. Oh, down here.
Yes.
I was talking about the penthouse.
Edge of those need to be set back 1.5 from the front wall of the building.
The edge of the window openings? So
if
I'm just making sure
are you putting a canopy over your doors on the rooftop addition?
No.
Okay, that's what I was getting confused with.
Nope, not at all.
I'm looking at the detailing of a little cornice piece above the penthouse addition, also over Macquarie's. Looks really sort of kind of classical. Hopefully you're not going to see it from the street, but it looks like it's just that same sort of cornice detail all the way around the penthouse. It seems like that should be a little simpler.
If you look at 206, we called out separate reveals around each of the penthouse parapets.
Okay.
For that reason, we didn't want them to appear the same or monolithic. So we did give them 1005 different parapet details than 1015.
So the Macquarie's is what, 1015? I'm sorry.
The
Macquarie's.
It's 1005.
I see. Yeah, so that penthouse detail in 7F. We can simplify that.
Absolutely. We were trying to make it simple and not too simple, but also not extremely historic. So we're happy to simplify those profiles. That's easy to work with staff, and hopefully that's easy for us.
So down to on A201, the front elevations. Can you address what you're proposing for the ground floor, the modifications, ground floor facades on 1001, and that? What kind of canopy, what you're doing with the corner entry?
We're proposing a corner entry to that building. A further investigation on the existing conditions of the building revealed a cast iron column in that corner with large structural beams heading far back across all the way to 1005 and well far back on the facade that we've included new storefront for. It actually appears there's a photo of a 1939 photo of Allen's shoe store, and Allen's storefront has that column located in there, and it's got a chrome or stainless steel aluminum wrap on that column, which is actually still present today, and the cast iron column really holds that corner down. And we were with Ruby Slipper really liked the idea of having that corner entry. We tried really, really hard to look at as many of these historic photographs as possible. We couldn't get a clear image of it. I could never find anything in map data or plans that revealed a corner entry, but the column has been there since pre-1939, and it's cast, and it has a decorative cornice and base, and it appears to be in the period of significance.
So the plaster, sort of pilasters, that's contemporary.
There's been a DDD facade grant, so that's on the 01 building and the 1015 building, as well as the 11 building. I think the 1005 building was exempt from that.
feel like the, if you look at A612, the drawings for the proposed storefront seem mm-hmm. very schematic at this point. Is it built of wood? Is it storefront system?
It's an aluminum thin profile glaze storefront system with the detail for the sill that we wanted. And actually, this is the detail of the sill is something we did discuss with SHPO.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to see some element of ornament, but not overly historic. And didn't want to create a false sense of history, but wanted not just to have a flat panel on it. So that is something we actually discussed with them.
And these sheets of glass meet impact resistance?
Yes, absolutely.
The applied molding just seems
hokey.
Odd. Yeah.
The top and the bottom to me just don't go together at all. It's like the Frankenstein with different parts put together in there.
This is actually one discussion I did have with SHPO reviewer is to actually put this some sort of detail in here that shows something other than a flat panel, but not overly historic.
And maybe you do a flat recessed panel opposed to the applied molding. The applied molding just screams even more fake, mm-hmm. historical.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's totally something we're willing to work through.
It probably won't last.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially on Canal Street.
It looks like, to me, it looks like there should be, I know you're trying to get as much visibility into the restaurant there as possible, but it seems like there needs to be a little bit more mass. I'm not saying repeat of what's above, taking on down.
The verticals.
You want a little bit more mass on the vertical?
I think that, yeah, it's like we've got this solid thing at the sidewalk, okay. Then there's really not much till you get to the awning up in there. And I would like to see a little bit more mass in there.
Is that something you think we can work out with the staff?
I think so.
I think especially as you turn the corner to the angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're very open to further design this.
And on 1015, how much higher is that guardrail above the existing parapet?
It is 14 inches above the existing parapet in the front.
And on the side, looks like it drops there.
The side drops, and it gets a little bit more as you go back.
So that's going to
be
visible.
It should be set back,
as I think is what we've required in the past. That's why I was asking the height, you know, how much over that parapet. If it's just a couple of inches, I wouldn't be balking, but I think it needs to be set back, as it's even in the guidelines, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's in the guidelines.
Okay, at this point I'm going to ask, is there any public comment regarding 1011 Canal Street? Nikki Zielinski, you have 2 minutes to make your comment.
I ask that the committee hold them to the design guidelines so that approvals here are not used with other bodies to get approvals from those. And I also agree with the staff that they need to use the entrance that's there. I was at that intersection last night and it was horrendous. And it's going to probably require them, if they don't use that as an entrance, to eventually put a gate up, which then has its own set of issues. So that's it.
All right. Thank you for your comment. Is there any other public comment? All right, ARC, is there any more discussion or a motion?
I'm going to let you make the motion because
I've missed
a lot of the first part in here. Right. And I don't think that we can approve something that doesn't follow the guidelines. The full commission has to do that. So we can't even consider that.
So at least the penthouses need to, the height of the penthouse on 1005 needs to be revised to meet the guidelines. The railings need to be set back to meet the guidelines. The profiles of the parapets on the penthouses should be simplified. The paneling underneath the ground floor storefront detail needs to be revised to indicate something other than an applied molding.
And more mass above it.
And more mass, so whether that's transoms or
just spatter mullions in there or something, just so it doesn't look like something sliced out of the building there. Mm-hmm.
And then maybe further information on what the canopy, the proposed canopies are.
More detail on the proposed canopies.
The awnings on the ground floor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Corner entrance. How do y'all feel about that? I have not seen any indication of that on previous Sanford maps.
I'm sorry?
I said I have not seen any indication of a corner entrance on previous Sanford maps of this particular building.
I looked as well, and I could not find one. But I'm puzzled as to why there is a ornate cast iron. I'd be love to show everybody in that corner, supported by double I-beams with square bolts on them.
If we can get more information
would be helpful. Absolutely. Rarely do those corners show up on Sanborns, but it would be good to see that. I think that probably it wasn't original. It was a change to the building to do exactly what you're trying to do, is to pull the business in there and all. But I think additional information that we could see would be helpful for us to make a decision on that.
100%.
And I do also have concerns about the fixed opening and at 10:05 in that recess entrance. I'm familiar with that area of Canal Street, and it will be more of a nuisance in the future than not.
And if you do have a recessed entry, you should probably have planned security at the edge of it, integrated into the design.
We've already placed security cameras for the undersides of those.
Well,
that doesn't do any good. Just record the violation.
Yeah, people will come back and ask for a gate there or something later on. Mm-hmm. So
it's a definite problem.
Better to plan that from the beginning.
Right. I mean, look at what happened across the street because of the recess entrance, and that building burned down.
Yeah. And so, no, we're actually on 934. We proposed to remove those entrances for that reason. For 10:05, it's obviously nationally listed, and we can't pull that out of there. There's nothing, we can't change that facade to come back to the storefront. And I believe, yes, it is an issue all up and down Canal, but particularly here, because there is no occupancy of this entire block, it has gotten worse, and what you're seeing now is what we're hoping to combat.
Does the ARC want to defer the penthouse until they've got information regarding what the SHPO will approve, or do you want to move forward with...
I thought we can't approve the penthouse because it's not in compliance with the guidelines.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could approve it provided they
send it back. To meet the guidelines.
That needs to be a new submission to us to meet the guidelines. Then we can do, but we just can't do something that doesn't meet the guidelines.
All right. Does someone want to try crafting a motion?
Well, I think Ashley kind of
gave started.
Yeah. So motion to defer with everything that Ashley said.
Ditto.
Motion to defer. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thanks, we appreciate it.
Thank you for having the meeting in person.
Yes.
The next item on the agenda is 741 St. Charles Avenue. All right, staff.
This is a new storefront installation in an existing garage opening.
All right, would the applicant like to make a brief presentation?
Sure. We're pursuing an exterior work permit. Eventually, this is going to be converted to a hotel use with 7 units, and we're going through the conditional use process.
Do you have drawings for the committee or not?
Sorry?
Do you have drawings to submit to the committee?
It seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, the exterior work is approved at staff level with the exception of the storefront.
Everything has to go through the ARC for the storefront.
So I just brought the sheet that has the storefront in question on it.
Yeah, because most of the rest of the stuff is at the rear, which isn't visible.
Yeah, not visible.
I guess it's been right.
Right, so this was the old Swiss confectionery building, and we want to remove the roll-up door and the curb cut on St. Charles Avenue. replace it with a storefront. And in doing so, we want to put a pedestrian door within that storefront. I also have a couple of historic photos that shows that there was a door there in 1948 and the 1950s. There was a double door, we're just calling for a single door. The storefront will be detailed exactly like the adjoining storefronts.
Are the adjoining storefronts aluminum or metal?
No,
or
they're
wood?
All wood.
They're all wood, but you're proposing a...
It's wood as well, proposing wood.
Because the detail is...
That's for the rear of the building, we have aluminum storefront to replace the steel storefronts that are back there.
Okay.
We're just looking at this door here today, correct?
Yes, just the garage opening.
And we have gotten part one and part two approval from Park Service, and they've approved the storefront.
We've got any public here for comment?
Oh, at this time, is there any public comment for 741 St. Charles Avenue? Okay. Is there any more discussion or is there a motion?
I move for conceptual approval for final details to be worked out with the staff.
I'll second that.
We have a motion by Robbie Cangelosi and a second by Robert Boyd. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Those are some interesting little round windows on the side.
Yeah.
Do you know there's little T's in the up there on the parapet? Do you know what that's for? What was the original? What the original building was?
Little T.
See in the little.
There's a little cartouche or whatever with a T in it.
At least on the elevation.
Is there a relationship to Tulane?
No, I doubt that.
That was my first thought when I saw it, but I think
Tulane usually uses the TU in their historic buildings. Tulane did have a big portfolio of property around town.
Right.
Huge. I can always check my database and see what it was built for. All
right. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robbie.
We need to move for adjournment.
Oh, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting. Oh, no, I can't make
it. I'll make the motion to adjourn the meeting.
I second.
We have a motion by Robbie Cangelosi and a second by... Ashley King. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Good seeing all of y'all.